there were two things that led me to accept the Lord as my personal Savior. The first one was a genuine and sincere belief in a place called hell. The second one was getting a hold of the fact that He loved me unconditionally. But we're living in a world not only that is broken, but society seems to want to break it more and more. We took God out of schools. How'd that work? We're taking God out of government. How's that working? Taking God out of our society. How's that work? The truth of the matter, it's not. During services, now it's part of our just who we are now. We have to. We've got people in services that are armed. Because you never know what could happen. And we want you to know that as a church, we're going to do everything in our power to build a security team that and a system that one day we'll even have a drill. And we'll make sure you know it's a drill. What do you do if there's an active shooter? Last thing you want is everybody in the building's got a gun to stand up and start shooting. That's the last thing you want to do. And so we're going to, as a church, we're going to put together a plan to help us to react properly and to protect you, protect our children, and to protect ourselves as well. Isn't it a shame we live in that world? But we shouldn't be surprised. God said it was coming. As a matter of fact, He said there'll be a time when people that kill you will think they're doing God a service. And we're there now. And so, but I want you to know this, that God is still on His throne. He's still in charge. We pray for those families down in Texas and in Antioch and in other places, Charleston and you name it, where churches have been shot up. But I want you to know this, that what's happened in our society, there's become an overall lack of fear of God. And one of the things related to a fear of God is the idea that there is a literal place called hell. John MacArthur, who is a preacher that I appreciate, I don't necessarily agree with 100% of everything that he says, but most of what he says is spot on. John MacArthur said, Satan continues his efforts to make sin less offensive, heaven less appealing, hell less horrific, and the gospel less urgent. And we know that Satan's real. We talked about that last week. He's a created being, an angel who fell from his place around God's throne. He exists. But God's people need to have a balanced view of this. He is not equal to God. Did you hear what I just said? Some Christians walk around in defeat, and you ask them what's going on. They say, well, the devil's just been all over me. Well, tell him to get off, bless God. Quit giving him free rides in your spirit. He doesn't belong there. If you know Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you, and greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. But you and I need to respect and believe in what God says about Satan and about hell. And by the way, hell is not Satan's home. That's not where he is. It's where he's going to be. That's right. Yes, somebody said it. He's going to be. It was created for him and his angels. And if you die and go to hell, you go as an intruder. A lot of people want to throw up, well, a loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. You're right. You basically send yourself to hell by rejecting God's plan. And when that happens, my friend, let me tell you something. You don't want to go to hell. I hear it in the course of the day. Wherever you're at, you may hear it. Fortunately, I don't hear it much at work where I'm in a Christian organization, but I have been in patients' homes and delivering, and you'll hear somebody tell somebody to go to hell. Let me lay this on you. Did you know that you have the power as a Christian and the responsibility to hold somebody back from going to hell? By telling them the truth. If you don't, and you just let them go by, guess where they're going? They're going to hell. Now, I understand in the heat of passion, people like to toss around the word hell. I heard it in the summertime. People said, it's hot as hell. No, it's not. You have no idea how bad bad is until you would experience hell. How bad did it affect me? I told you. It's one of the reasons I came to know Jesus. Because God planted in my heart and soul that hell was real. And you say, well, that's just fear. The Bible says, some saved by fear, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh, pulling them out of the fire. Yeah, it's pretty effective. Even Jesus taught there were some things that we needed to be afraid of. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And the sad thing is, there's even debate among pastors and Christian teachers as to whether or not hell is literal. Let me settle that for you. Hell is real. It's as real as heaven. It's as real as the seat you're sitting in. It's as real as the life you're living. Hell is real. Look at chapter 12 with me of Luke, beginning in verse 4. Jesus is speaking. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you'll find that these verses are in red, which means who's speaking? That's right. Now, would Jesus lie to us? No. So let's pick up and look in Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. By the way, death is not the end of it. I want you to notice, after the body dies, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. All right? Again, I'll read verse 5. But I forewarn you who you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Let's pray. Father, I bow in your presence. I thank you for the privilege of being in this place. And I come before you and I plead the blood over this place of worship this morning. I pray, God, that your presence would be manifested. And God, more than anything, in spite of the subject at hand, God, would you please use this to be a blessing to those that are here today. God, I ask you that you might anoint me and give me your power. I don't want to stand before these folks a pointless, powerless preacher, and I want to be a blessing to them. And God, use this, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I've got three very simple points, and then we can go to the house. But it may take a while for you to get there. The three points are very simple. We need to understand the demand for hell, the description of hell, and the duration of hell. The demand for hell, the description of hell, and the duration of hell. First of all, I want to talk to you about the demand for hell. Hell exists for a reason. Does anybody think that God does stuff for no reason? Absolutely not. Now, she's crying. Don't worry. Some of you are looking over there like you're killing her. They're not. They are, I promise you, they are good to this paper, okay? And you can't fix it from where you're sitting anyway. The demand for hell comes from several different places. The first one is, God's holiness demands hell. Do you know what the number one attribute of God is? People many times will jump up and say, yes, the Bible says God is love, and that's true. But that is not his primary attribute. Above everything that describes God, we find around the throne of God angels 24/7 singing a song to God and about God. Here's the song. Holy, holy, holy. Back and forth in rounds, these angels sing 24/7. So what would you say is God's primary sense of being? I'd say he's holy. He is. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he cannot stand to look upon sin. On sin and the lack of salvation is something that is repulsive to God. But, yes, the Bible says God is love. But you've got to understand something. The only reason you and I can go to heaven is because God is love. But here's how it works. It's not automatic. And no, not everybody's going to heaven. You see, that holiness thing is so big that it says sin must be dealt with. So when Satan and his angels that he took with him fell from heaven, God designed a place called hell to put them at the end of time. When all of this is wrapped up, Satan will be cast into hell, but he won't be alone. Hell was created as a form of judgment against beings that are going to live forever. How long do angels live? Forever. Guess what? How long do people live? Forever. The Bible teaches that whether you're saved or lost, Christian or not, you, the real you, your spirit, your soul, is going to live forever. The question is, where is your soul going to live? There's only one of two choices. Years ago, the Catholic Church, and still teaches today, that there's a place called limbo. Limbo is a place where the spirits of unbaptized babies go. They're just kind of stuck out there. That's where the term, well, they're in limbo. That's where it comes from. That's not in the Bible, by the way, and it doesn't exist. The other one is purgatory. Purgatory is sort of like a temporary hell where you go and pay for sin until you've paid for it, then you come out, and then you get to go to heaven. That's not in the Bible either. The only two places and abodes for the soul after this life are either heaven or hell. There is no in-between. There are no other choices. There is no soul sleep. There is no reincarnation. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And God's holiness, it demands it. How do we know he's holy? Because it says in the Bible, it tells us there is none holy as the Lord. In Psalm 99, it says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." Isaiah 6 says, those angels, as they sang, "Holy, holy, holy," they said, "Is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." In Habakkuk chapter 1, it says this, "You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness." So, if a being is going to live forever, it's only got how many choices? Heaven or hell. If you have not had your sin forgiven, or you are Satan, remember this, Satan and angels don't have salvation. There's no second chance for them. They're lost if they fell away from grace and fell away from God. Or they're ones that stayed loyal and they're going to be in heaven. So the loyal angels are going to be in heaven. The angels that rebelled are going to be in only one of two places, because those souls, that those beings, they live forever. You live forever. So that means you are either going to be in or you're going to be in. Now, here's the bad news. You're already headed for hell. You and I are already headed for hell. Now I realize how cute she is, how precious she is. But they were all little one time, weren't they? And they were so precious. Then they get big and evil and mean. And they bite. Oh, that was my cat I was thinking, I'm sorry. But what happens is a child comes to an age of accountability. What do I think happens to the babies that have been aborted? I believe they are fully mature adults in heaven. They're spirits. They're in heaven. I believe that. I just believe it. Babies who die, they're in heaven. Children who have not reached the age of accountability, and you can't put a number on it. What does that mean, age of accountability? They know the difference between right and wrong. So if you've got a child, and they're as cute as a bug's ear, start praying now that they will come to know Jesus. Because your child, my child, when they come out, they're not headed for heaven. Where are they headed? Toward hell. The only way any child, any person can go to heaven is if something comes in between them and their road to hell and stops them in their tracks and calls out to them, turn back. The Bible word for that is repent. To repent means to turn in your tracks and head in the other direction. The call for repentance, you don't hear it much nowadays, but it's still the same way that you escape hell. There has to be repentance. So a child that understands the difference between right and wrong, and how do they know that? Well, children in daycare, we used to teach them. We used to tell them what sin is. And you could ask one of our 4 or 5-year-olds, and you could look at them, and you could say, what is sin? And they would look up so cute and go, sin is the bad things that we do. And it's so funny. You ask children sometimes, have you done anything bad? They'll go, no. And what they're saying is, not in the last 5 minutes. But what happens is, when that child understands the difference between right and wrong, they become responsible before God for their spiritual standing. Do you understand me? Now, I told you, God is holy, but He's a God of love. Now, what happens is, God does not want people to go to hell. If you go to hell, it's because you've rejected God's plan, or you haven't accepted God's plan. What's the difference? Well, there are people on this planet right now that have still not heard the gospel. But here's the bad news. They know enough already to go to hell. Why? The Bible says there's no language or speech that hasn't heard God in nature. The only problem with looking at nature is nature can't tell you how to escape hell. It can tell you there's a God. It can help you understand that. And by just looking around this world, you can see evil, can't you? But what we like to do, we like to compare ourselves and say, well, I'm not like those Antifa folks. Or I'm not like that guy that killed a child. Or I'm not like this. Yeah, but you know who you are? You are a sinner in need of a Savior. The one that stepped in the road and to stop you was Jesus. And that road led to Calvary, where He died on the cross. And the reason for that is, God loved you too much to let you just go on with no hope, no opportunity. So He gave His only Son to take your hell and die in your place. And if you reject God's plan, there's no hope for you. There's only one choice. There's only one plan. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the demand of hell is because of God's holiness. Not only that, Satan's wickedness, his rebellion, demands hell. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, and I love this, we read this last week, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. Prior to that, the Antichrist and his follower, both humans, by the way, were cast into hell. And later, 1,000 years later, when Satan is cast into hell, where are those people, the beast and the false prophet? Still in hell. That means, how long does hell last? For eternity. If you reject God's plan, you go with your own plan. And your own plan will lead you to hell. Not only does the holiness of God demand that there be a hell, Satan's rebellion demands there's a hell, our own sinfulness demands it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Matthew 25, God said, Jesus is speaking here, He said, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand. Those are folks that have trusted Christ. But the goats on the left. Then the king shall say to them on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Who was hell prepared for? The devil and his angels. But people who do not accept Christ go to hell. that is a godless Christ. It is a Christ, hell. It is a Christless hell. It is a hell for eternity where you are separated from God. You see, not only do we see the demand for hell in the scripture, we see the description of hell. Did you know that Jesus said more about hell than he did heaven? Did you hear me? He said more about hell than he did about heaven. One of the first fire and brimstone preachers, in other words, preaching on hell fire, his name was Jesus. The gentle Lamb of God preached hot and heavy about hell. He pulled no punches. It was Jesus that tells us this in chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. The description of hell, one of the things it says is that it's huge. Hell is huge. The scripture puts it this way. In Isaiah, we find these words. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there be many who go in by it. Don't follow the crowd. Young people, listen to me. Don't follow the crowd. The crowd is headed for hell. Don't follow the crowd. I spoke at the high school Friday morning, which I can tell you was a blessing. They had a veterans event there for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And they asked if I would speak, since I'm a veteran. And I've spoken there before, and I really enjoy it. And by the way, they meet before school starts, and they pray and talk about Jesus. And they invited me. And it was interesting this last time that I was there, and I've shared with you my Bibles that I had that led me to the Lord. Well, this Friday I was impressed by God to bring three Bibles. I have a World War II pocket testament that soldiers were given. And right on the cover, it says it was printed by the Department of the Army. Did that sink in? The U.S. government printed and distributed Bibles at one time. The ACLU would have a fit. In my day, even when I went, the only way I got a Bible was the Gideons gave it out. So I had my Gideon's Bible, I got a basic training. Then I had my German Bible that I got in a German motel that I stole, basically. It was very spiritual. I was going to prove these Germans had it right. And so what God had led me to do was to give them the simple plan that, first of all, there is a plan. And it's a good plan. And then work the plan. That's what I shared with these kids. When I got to the German Bible, I read the passage out of Jeremiah that says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to do you good and not evil. 29:11. And I'm reading it, and they're turning around and looking at this one girl that's in there in the auditorium, and they're kind of snickering. And one of the teachers says, she's from Germany. She's an exchange student. And she goes, but that was hard to understand. Well, I said, well, it's Middle German. It's like reading a King James Bible and you've never read one. And so afterwards, I went to her. I said, now you read it to me. And she started reading it. It was funny because she started stumbling over the words and she's German. And she goes, that is hard. That is old. I said, I told you. But then later as I left, I'm thinking, God, you knew that one German kid was going to be there. And you had me bring my German Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And what God had me read and then had her read, though it was in Middle German, she understood it, that it said, God speaking, I know the plans that I have for you. So God took her all the way over from her home outside of Cologne, Germany, and flew her to Little Manchester to be at Coffee County High School on Friday morning at 7:20 so she could hear the word of God. God has gone to the full extent to reach men, women, boys, and girls for the gospel. Amen. On Wednesday night, our ladies down here are reaching these kids with the gospel. And by the way, it's never too late to reach somebody, but it's a whole lot easier if you can get to them before they hit 20. And so listen to me. It's not a waste of time when you pack that shoebox that somebody, did you realize that you are planting yourself in the path of some child on their way to hell, and you're saying, wait a minute. In that shoebox, and they open it up, and they're being, somebody preaches to them the gospel, the greatest gift, before they're handed the box, and then when they open the box in their own language is literature telling them about Jesus. Did you know when you send that shoebox, you are sending that right in the path of some hell-bound sinner, though they be short or though they be tall, to make a difference. Why? Because God so loved the world. We just don't have it right. We don't understand the description of hell is there not just to frighten us like a boogeyman story, but to tell us what it's real. We're told not only that it's huge, we're told that it's hot. It says, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Luke 16, the rich man in hell said, I am tormented in this flame. Miss Theologian, you'd have a hard time going to hell and telling them it doesn't exist. Dear God in heaven, I am telling you this morning, in pulpits across this land, there are men and women wasting their breath preaching a social gospel that never mentions repentance, never mentions the need for salvation, and that basically everybody's good and everybody's going to heaven, and let's all be politically correct, but it's not the Word of God and it's not what Jesus said. Amen. It's a terrible place. It's horrible. We know from the Bible that you will have your senses in hell. In John 5, it says, marvel not at this. He says, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear their voice, and they shall come forth. They that have done good, in other words, trusted Christ unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil haven't trusted Christ unto the resurrection of damnation. What does that mean? Everybody, listen to me, look at me. Everybody is going to get a new body in the end. Again, I've got it on great authority. Y'all are going to be bald-headed and built like me. Hey, I'm buff. Right there. Wait. Right there. Hey, listen. We're all going to get a brand new body. But do you understand that people who reject Christ are going to get a new body that lives forever as well? A body that cannot be consumed by fire. A body that can feel, touch, and experience that will never die. So do you want to have the idea, some cults teach that hell is kind of a temporary thing. You go there and you burn up like a piece of paper. That is not what is taught. That is not what is taught at all. It's a horrible place, and in hell you have your senses. It says in the Bible in Luke 16, it says, and the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down that he might take the tip of his finger and dip it in water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You think Lazarus thinks hell's real? Still does. He's still there. Jesus taught it. Not as a boogeyman story, but as a fact. Why in the world would he come and die on the cross on that hill if it wasn't real? He did it because he loves you and he loves me. He loves boys and girls, men and women, all colors, all shapes, and all sizes. You have your senses in hell. You can see, you can hear, you can taste, you can feel. There'll be sanity in hell. You'll have your mind. As a matter of fact, after the rich man makes that request to Abraham, Abraham says to him, he says, son, remember. Now, Faye is the youngest lady in the church. And I'm sure that she never has any issues with memory. But I've got to where I will get up and walk into a room and have no clue why I went in there. I'll get back, sit down, and then remember. It's like one fellow said, he was in a nursing home, and a preacher went to talk to him. He said, well, preacher, I believe in the hereafter. He said, I'd get up and walk into a room and go, what am I here at? And I'm there. But I'll tell you, there's one thing I've never forgot. That night when I asked Jesus Christ into my heart, he took a hell-bound sinner stopped him in his path, and because of his love and the reality of hell, I turned to him away from where I was headed and turned to him and changed direction, not of my own free will, as it were. It was because he was drawing me, though I did make the choice. I didn't know the story. I didn't know he was reaching for me. But even through that German Bible, that little testament I got in basic training years before, and training I'd had through life off and on where God's people planted the seed, God was reaching for me. I will never forget that. Because you know why he did it? Because hell is huge and hell is hot and hell is horrible. How about the society in hell? That fellow down in Texas, unless by some miracle he repented in the last seconds of life, he split hell wide open. The story is that a neighbor heard what was going on, confronted him with a gun, and the guy took off running. In the process, they say, before he ran, he fired 450 rounds about in that church. Another fellow, totally unrelated, the guy flagged him down, got in his pickup truck, chased him down, shot at him and hit him, but it didn't kill him. And then what happened is he wrecked his SUV and then killed himself. And he thought that'd fix his problems. It's appointed a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That works both ways. If you leave this life, you leave here either ready or not. You leave here either saved and you know Christ is your Savior and you're ready to go to heaven, or you're not. It's not automatic. I've had people tell me when you start talking to them about the Lord, well, my mom and daddy were good people. They loved Jesus. Because they were born in a Christian home, they think they're going to heaven. That's like being born in a garage and thinking you're a Ford. You don't go to heaven just because you were born in a Christian family, because your grandma loves Jesus. It doesn't work that way. It's each individual, and do you know Jesus as your Savior? But then the duration of hell is what makes it so terrible. Scripture pulls no punches. Speaking of hell, it is described as being everlasting, forever and ever, and eternal condemnation. You see, God's holiness demands hell. Satan's wickedness demands hell. Our sinfulness demands hell. But I want you to hear the good news. That's the bad news. The good news is God's grace defeated the road to hell. You don't have to go to hell. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And gospel means good news. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 2 Peter 3:8, it says this: the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, the crowd in the last days, the Bible says, is going to look and say to God, well, God, things are still the same. Nothing's changed since Jesus was here. Where is he? Where is the sign of his coming? And they don't realize that God's chance he's given them by holding it off and holding it off is so more men, women, boys, and girls can come to Jesus. But one day, the door is going to close. Today, the door is open. Today, if you don't know Jesus, you need to step through it. Today, you need to accept Christ. Is hell for real? Yes. And remember, as soon as we know the difference between right and wrong, we're heading in that direction. And I want you to see this. From the time you knew the difference between right and wrong, and the time you gave your heart to Jesus, can be a long time. You could have died anywhere in that path, and guess where you'd have gone? To hell. But God in his mercy gave you and me chance after chance after chance. And finally you accepted Christ. I've never heard somebody that's done that say, well, I wished I waited a little longer. Everyone I've ever heard says, I wished I'd have done it sooner. So why put it off another day? If you're not 100% sure you're ready, today is your day. God wants to defeat the devil and wants to defeat him in your life by giving you victory in Jesus. And today's your day. Why wouldn't you want to do it now? I mean, I wouldn't want to take a chance. Life is short at best. But life is also temporary in this world. Are you ready? Father, we bow before you. And we are so grateful for who you are and what you've done and what you're doing and sending your son to die for us. Now, God, there's probably somebody in here that they're good folk. But, Lord, they're headed to hell. They don't know Jesus. They haven't made a profession of faith. They've never asked Christ to be their Lord. And, Father, you sent this word today to warn them because you love them and because hell is so terrible. You sent your son to die for them. God, I'm asking you that you would get a hold of their heart. That you would continue to draw them. God, they're not here this morning by accident, but by divine appointment. God, we're asking you that you would reach them. Help them to see that they need to accept Christ as their Savior. Help them to understand how to do that. To believe that Jesus is your Son. That He is God. That He died, but He rose from the dead. And He's coming again. And to believe for Him to be the Lord of their heart and life. And to ask Him to come in and be their Lord. And then confess with their mouth that they have done that. God, I'm asking you that you would work in hearts. In Jesus' name, would you stand with your head bowed, your eyes closed, as Brian comes to play softly on the piano? Would you come if you need Jesus to come into your heart? Would you simply come forward and say, yes, I need this. I need to know. I need to know. If that's you, would you come? Then I would say, if you know for sure that you're a Christian, that you're ready to meet the Lord, would you be praying that God would give us souls for His kingdom? One soul at a time. And then if there's someone here that doesn't know, would you pray with me that God would draw them and speak to them before it's too late? We've been talking about key doctrines of the Bible. Oh, we've talked about the existence of heaven. We've talked about how God loves us. We've talked about Satan, how real he is. And this morning we talk about the existence of a literal hell. And you need to understand God's got a plan for your life. And His best plan for you doesn't include hell. But He won't force it on you. He'll simply invite you. And I invite you this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you ask Him to come into your heart? Would you ask Jesus to come into your heart? It's your day. Father, we pray before you and thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, God, for your goodness and mercies. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. And Lord, I thank you for every person in this building this morning. And God, if there's one here that's not sure, or they just hope so, God, help them before they leave here to nail it down and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're ready to meet you. Because we're going either to heaven or hell. And the only way to heaven is through Jesus. God, if there's someone here that needs you, that they would respond before it's too late. That today they would ask Jesus to come into their heart. Right where you're standing, your head bowed, your eyes closed, you can ask Christ to come into your heart. Just to yourself, pray this simple prayer. Jesus, I believe that you are God. And Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. And I'm a sinner, but you are the Savior. And I want you to come into my heart and be Lord of my life. You say, Chip, it can't be that simple. Then it says to confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, that you've asked Him to come in. Tell others, tell those around you that you've given your heart to Jesus. And if you've done that, I encourage you to tell somebody. But if you haven't done it, please, please don't wait. Don't put it off till it's too late. Do you need Christ as your personal Savior? He loves you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish. But men, women, boys, and girls go to hell every day because they refuse to accept Christ. For you and I as believers have refused to go out and help and reach them. Oh, God, help us. God, help us to make a difference. Are you ready? Can you say without a doubt, you know that you know that you know that if you died right now, you know that you'd go to heaven? If you're not sure, then you need to make sure. It's not based on church membership. Though I believe if you do this and you ask Christ in your heart, the next stop ought to be the baptismal pool. You ought to be baptized. It represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that you are not ashamed and that you are identifying with Jesus, with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I believe you ought to get baptized if you've asked Christ into your heart. If you're here and you've asked Jesus into your heart, but you've never been baptized, you need to take care of that. Doesn't matter how old or how young, if you understand, you need to take care of it. May God bless you and keep you and watch over you. As we dismiss in prayer today, I'm going to ask Brother Dwight, if you will, to dismiss us in prayer.
Thank you, Lord.